So, hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Best of Five, your weekly FTC podcast, wherein we talk about what happened last weekend, this weekend, next week, and everything in between. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
Who won The Bachelor?
It's kind of complicated. Cassie won. Yeah, we're not going to get into that right
Cassie
now.
Cage?
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. No one won. We all lost. It was fucking terrible. What did you say before that? Oh, yeah, it's my spring break right now, and I'm here, so you guys should thank me.
Dude. In the chat. What? I don't know. I can't explain fully how much it annoys me to hear you say that. What? We're all adults. We work. I'm a family man. I'm on spring break, and I still came in for the show, so you're welcome.
Yeah.
It's my ass. Anyway.
John was just talking about spring break 09 and then realized. Yeah. Like, as if it was yesterday.
As if it was 10 years ago. John Velociraptor Guerrero writes for EventHubs.com. He joins us via Skype using that sick new blur. Oh, it blurs the foreground as well. Look at that.
It does?
Yeah, because that mic is blurred out. Wait. Whoa.
Yeah, it's cool. It's great.
Yo, shout out to Ak Aking Off Sweet. I think that's how you pronounce that. His name is also Steve Jurek. That's this guy here on the screen. He's in the Infinite Azure. How you doing, dog?
I am doing. That's about as good as I can give you.
Cool. So back to John and his last spring break being in 2009, which was a decade ago. I'm trying to think when the last time I went on. I graduated college in 07.
Wow, that's when I graduated high school, you old man. That makes me feel so much better. Thank you so much, Efren. I appreciate that.
So how come you didn't go on spring break for your sophomore and senior year? I mean, junior and senior year. You were playing video games?
I can't. You broke up.
I'll blame Elon for that. All right, guys, let's get to the show. We have a lot to talk about. There was the kickoff, official kickoff of the Capcom Pro Tour with final round in Atlanta, Georgia. I will be the first to say that I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah,
it brought
fun.
Me back. I was like, okay, getting some of that flavor back. I'm enjoying watching competitive streams, and I think it bodes well. There was also some hype tournaments, ups, downs, upsets, surprises. Also, if you were one of the lucky few, only a quarter of this panel made it in. You got to play the Mortal Kombat 11 stress test. John, you were in on that, weren't you?
Yeah, I did. I got to play. I only played for like maybe half an hour, and it was only to show my girlfriend the fatalities that she was super not ready for, especially Baraka's Brain Eater. Spoilers, Baraka can eat your brain in this game. She lost her shit. It was great.
Cool. That's, you know, borderline abuse, really. Elon, what is on the screen? My goodness. Also, we'll be talking about, you must be very excited about Kid Goku from GT.
Well, actually, that's what I wanted. I don't play the game anymore, but I do like Kid Goku.
You just wanted more children in the game.
Wanted more Gokus.
Because you relate to them, because you're a Spring Breaker.
Yeah. And Goku.
And Goku.
I think there's now six actual characters with Goku in the name. And if you include characters that are like part Goku, we're in like the 20s. So,
like Bardock, who else has Goku in?
Oh, a lot. Cell, I mean. Pretty much any of them.
Do you ever go around and say, do you have any Goku in you? And then follow up with, would you like some?
No, I've never said that.
Okay. We're going to kick off the show like we always do with a recap of the weekend's events. And for that, we have Steve, Ace King Offsuit Jurek.
That we do.
Who is the cutest bald guy of all time?
Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan might have a little
cannot
bit
hold of a candle to Steve. His recaps are not as good. Go ahead.
Wow. Sure. Okay. Busy weekend. Just kicking things off online with the Street Fighter League, the U.S. version at least, the final two online qualifiers to get into that draft. On the east side, you had Psycho taking it over Space Boy, who came close once again but fell just short. So Psycho put his name into the hat for the Street Fighter League draft. He will be joined by XSK Samurai, who edged out Donkadillas and Commander Jesse to take the final spot for the western half of the country. Just missing out on top eight, we had a few players, including John Velociraptor Guerrero.
Wait, I almost got top eight.
Yeah.
You got ninth.
Ninth.
Wow, that's great.
How many matches
I lost
did you win?
Diaz and okay, let me give you a quick story. We played 9 rounds and went to the last game, last round in all 3 of our matches. I command grabbed as Nicali twice of probably about 30 different times where I could have done it, and he'd neutral jump both of them, and I just about quit Street Fighter V forever because I'm like, there is no rhyme or reason to this stupid game.
Yeah.
And he somehow knew, and I was pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had that happen in tournaments.
Yeah. Trying to pull up the drive here. What else you got for us, Steve?
Well, with that settled, we now know which 12 players are going to be selectable for the team captains in the Street Fighter League. Like we said, XSK Samurai and Psycho got the wins this week. They join JB, Just a Kid, Rob TV, and Up to Snuff in the online qualifiers. The fan vote also took place this weekend. A little bit of an uproar over that because it was pretty much entirely during final round, so a lot of people missed out on it. But the 6 players who did make the cut, pretty good list. Brian F., who had himself a nice weekend. Broly Legs, Classico, Dual Kevin, who's been putting in work in Street Fighter as of late, El Chicote, and Shine.
Yo, how many captains are there? Do all these people end up getting selected?
Yes, it's going to be 16 captains. They haven't confirmed who those captains are, but it is believed to be the top 6 American finishers from last year's Capcom Pro Tour.
Chester Broly Legs.
So wait, so what are the teams made up of? It's 6. It's one of each.
Yes, it is one. Okay. One of the team captains, one player from the online qualifiers, and one player from the fan vote. But for the way, Event Hubs has a projected list for the team captains, and it should be, according to this, Knuckledoo, Justin, Punk, Idom, Toy, and Nephew. So that is unconfirmed, but that's who we believe are going to be the team captains for this thing.
And like I've been trying to say for the last 45 seconds, shout out to Broly Legs. That dude's been grinding real hard for a real long time, and I'm glad to see that he got in via fan vote. I saw him, what's what I'm looking for? Stumping for himself. What's what I'm looking for, Mike, when you're trying to advocate for yourself? Regardless, he did it. He got in. If you don't know who Broly Legs is, Mike Begum. Dude plays with his face. Can't use his body from his neck down, but still can lay a smack down. I got double perfected him by him once in a tournament.
Really?
Yeah, with his chun versus my T-Hawk. It was pretty bad. Anyway.
His chun is nice.
His chun's real nice.
Let's move on to another online qualifier. This was for the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate North America Open. The final round of qualifiers for that as well was this past weekend. You had DT Fox, DT Foe, taking the win in Northeast, Austin in the Northwest, Poltergust in the Southeast, and Terror Bear in the Southwest.
I'd like to say that Poltergust is a former arcade UFO player. Went to UT for 4 years. It's sick to see him win this. He's a big, if you look him up, he was maybe the best, at least for a long time, Phoenix Wright player in Marvel vs. Capcom 3. So, some background on Polt.
All right.
Well, how many people really played Phoenix Wright though?
I mean, we weren't saying it was the greatest accomplishment ever. We were just saying he might have been the best. So there you go.
It's like being the tallest guy on this show.
He loves Phoenix Wright so much that he played Dark Phoenix in the first game when Phoenix Wright wasn't in it because they had part of the same name.
Yeah. Was his team Phoenix Wright?
Somebody else? I think he got rid of Phoenix.
Because anyway, why have the replacement when you got the real thing? So we now know the teams that will compete at PAX East, so Austin joins Mystic and Sweet Tea in the Northwest squad. Numbers and Seth will join DT Foe in Northeast. Numberon and Arrow in the Southwest, and the Southeast Poltergust joins Devante and Wrath. Going across the world for a moment, we did have World Esports Games, or World Electronic Sports Games, had their global final. Tekken 7 was one of the games. Rang Chu, the Tekken World Tour champion, took home the gold medal in the men's division, holding off Yu and Double. In the women's side, Tanukana and Yu Yu. Another great matchup between those two. That went down to the wire. Cuddlecore of the U.S. got in on the podium with the bronze medal. So congratulations to all of those players.
Real quick, are we going to get upset that there's a men and women's division, or are we cool with that?
I'm not a fan personally, but this is very consistent with what WESG does.
Women have less upper body strength, so it makes sense that they'd be in their own Tekken bracket. Hard, okay, yeah. We're figured it out. We can go on.
It's more that they're trying to emulate the Olympics. They're one of the groups that are pushing for esports to be included in the Olympics. So they're coming in like, okay, the Olympics divides as into men and women. That's what we should probably do too. Like I said, I'm not a big
okay.
Fan
so
of
let's
it.
Just devil's advocate that for a second. It does guarantee that there will be women on that side, implying that, you know, they don't tend to place as high in an open bracket. So this, by default, you'll have more women, which potentially lead to more visibility, which could be a good thing. Now, John, since I know you have beef with this, also, are you in heaven right now?
I don't have beef. Well, okay, so, yeah, exactly. It's funny because the sun is setting and it's shining directly in my face through the window above me. So it's like...
You look enlightened.
Here we are. Thank you. Yes, I know all.
But
your question.
But what if there was like a scenario wherein you had top men, top women, and then post that you had a mixed bracket?
Great. I don't care how they do it. I'm not worried about it. I think that a women's bracket is exciting. I also think that that's implying that they're not going to win in the men's bracket. History shows thus far that women don't traditionally win when there's men, they're in the men's bracket. So you could make that argument. People would get mad at you. You can make an argument against it. People would get mad at you. Basically, people are going to get mad at you. So I don't have a horse in the race.
I think if you look at Tekken results, you look at the success that Cuddlecore has had, that Tanukana has had, there isn't anything out there that shows that women can't compete with men. To the contrary, yes, women can go toe-to-toe, beat men, this gets way above our pay grade, let me say that first. Yeah. I think most of the difference in results right now can be contributed to the societal differences between how we view men playing video games versus how we viewed women playing video games. And that is changing, especially over the last few years. I don't see the need to separate by gender in this case. I understand why they're doing it. I just don't feel that it's the right decision in my book.
Plus, you know, the upper body strength. So, moving on.
Jesus Christ.
What else you got
good
here?
Good for Korean backdashing. I'm just saying.
Y'all going to get us kicked off of Twitch. I'm telling you right now. But the big event this weekend was final round in Atlanta. Kicking it off on the Tekken side. It was an all-American affair. Shadow 20Z. This man has been on the come up for a while. Gets the big win over Trungy. Becomes the first American player to win it final round in 7 years in Tekken.
Wait. Yes. Okay, yeah, finish what you're going to say, because I think you're going to answer the question I was about to have.
Yeah, there is a little bit of an asterisk behind this, because not a lot of international players showed up due to it not being part of the Tekken World Tour this year. But, I mean, even previous years, you still had strong Korean players coming out. Shadow showing that he's right up there among the top U.S. players, even among the top world players. If he can get out to more events, he's someone that can do some damage.
Wait, how many foreigners showed up?
I think it was...
Well, I mean, like St. JDCR.
No one on that level showed up.
Mm. All right, well, fair. Good, but still good to Shadow 20Z.
Yeah. So we got to build up the U.S. because we're about to bring the U.S. down. Dragon Ball Fighters results from that event. If you're a fan of the U.S., you might want to look away. All Japan podium. Goichi taking it over Kazunoko. Finally getting back to winning ways. Had been falling to Kazunoko a lot since, I want to say, CEO. Or before CEO, excuse me.
It's been a while.
Last year. So, yeah, so it's good to see him on top. Dogura taking third. Hook Gang got the only American player to beat a Japanese player this weekend. 22-1 for Japan when playing U.S. players. So it was a wash.
Some mistakes on this. I mean, there's two players tied for third. There's four players tied for fifth, Steve. I mean, graphic, man.
And everything's in white. Everything's text. In white. I don't understand what that means.
I can't even read white.
I don't see white.
I get it. Race jokes.
We're going forward.
That's okay.
There was a lot of talk about a final round, like another game too. What could
which mean? One?
Well, it has to do with streets and fighting.
Yes, the game that's all about fighting on the streets.
Dead or Alive 6. Omikook. All right. Anyway,
crazy steady. This was the first real big event for DOA. DOA 6, I should say. Crazy steady taking it over Blackberry in the grand final. Beat him in a couple of close sets, too. 2-1 in the winner's final, 3-2 in the grand final. So look out for both of those players as the game progresses. I expect, you know, like I was saying last week, the numbers for this didn't really – they were a little lower than I thought they would be, but I would expect once we get to April Annihilation, next month, you'll see – a pretty big turnout because that's a Big E event and Big E has always been good to the DOA scene. So be sure to look out for that next month and certainly other stuff in between there as well.
So I was watching Dead or Alive 6 and I have formulated an expert opinion.
Okay.
And what is that expert opinion?
She looked kind of boring to me.
Good.
And the characters look silly to me. And they weren't wearing enough clothing. I was disappointed.
Well, I mean, they have so many costumes to choose from. You can put them in as much or as little as you want. It's all your call.
Yeah. Well,
our DOA expert Efren has signed off on final round Dead or Alive 6. So, I mean,
I think it's time to move on. What else needs to be said?
Nothing.
Let's talk about the game that involves people who are either dead or alive. Street Fighter V. The kickoff of the 2019 Capcom Pro Tour started the same way as the 2017 Capcom Pro Tour did, with Punk on top. Punk coming back from the loser's bracket, pretty much speedrunning Momochi in that grand final. Ridiculous performance from him. Johnny, that's a name you are going to see a bunch of in the coming months, because he's one of the players that came up through Shinobiism, Momochi's school, Momochi and Choka Blanca's training ground. So there was a bit of that father, that student-teacher dynamic when they played in the winner's final. But Johnny, he is going to be a problem once he gets more experience under his belt. You see some Americans you don't normally see or haven't often seen at the top of the standings as well. Brian F., great weekend for him. CJ Truth. Tampa Bison, a guy who doesn't really get to travel all that much, making top eight. Hopefully he can make it out to more events because this man can do some things if he gets a chance.
Go ahead. Well, there's plenty more final round, right? Or is that it? Is that the last final round slide?
We've got one more talking about it, but there's no – look at the names who aren't there. Gachi-kun, the reigning Capcom Cup champion, got knocked out in 17th. Tokido, the guy who was number one seed for pretty much the entire year last year, 25th you know.
Knuckledew also.
Fujimura, Knuckledew, Mena. I mean, like, almost Daigo. Everyone was there.
Jay Whizzle.
Yeah, Daigo.
Phenom. Problem X. Ceroblast.
Yeah.
Anyone you can think of was there. So if you don't see their name, I mean, they probably just lost early.
Now, is that obviously just because it was such a stacked-ass tournament? Or because they all are washed up and Punk is good?
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, it was obviously a super stacked tournament and people brought their best. I think the game changed a lot in this season and in a way people weren't necessarily ready for. I mean, you see, like, Karen didn't get, like, buffed in any major ways. And in fact, she got a couple nerfs, but she looks like she might be, you know, near the top of the tier list, just the way things funneled out and some characters got nerfed. And I don't think people know exactly how to play as well as they did. That plus the rust of not playing in the tournament setting for 3 months and then not having this metagame at its highest level for 3 months, I think you're going to see a lot of kind of back and forth shaky results for the first few tournaments because things change a lot.
Absolutely. And this is a great sample, but it is only one sample, and it's the very, well, more or less the very first one. I guess you could say Evo Japan is as well. But I take this and I go, okay, cool. This is what it begins to look like. But I'm not going to try to make much in the way of predictions or projections as to how strong, like, for instance, Karen is, like, where she is in the tier list. She's good. I'm not going to try to, like, put her in a spot right now because I need to see more results. If Punk is consistent with this, great. But I think it was when Brian F. was entering to play his first top eight match, it was Ultra David that said he had talked to Brian F. and he asked him, you know, how do you feel about your path here and what is it that got you into the top eight, especially at an event with so many killers? Anyone who's anyone was there. And Brian said something to the effect of, the reads were in my favor, man. So it, to him at least, and with that response, and I don't know if there was more to it than that, but it would still felt like, yeah, I got lucky and the interactions went more in my favor than not, and I happened to find myself in top eight. Now, I wouldn't be surprised to see Brian F. in another top eight this year at this caliber of an event. I think he's a really good player. But at least one guy out there saying that this felt, for him, a little bit on the random side. And so it's a lot of information that you have to gather. We have our first big chunk of it, but I'm still going to be kind of slow to making any big scale predictions.
Now, when you talk about Karin being, you know, maybe among the top tier, do you think that's because of the changes, or is that more
few reasons
how well Punk plays the character that he just makes her look top
tier? Punk and Johnny
on his game. Punk is the best Karin in the world, and we've seen a handful.
He's the best
of
player
really
in the world, in my
Karens.
Opinion. But keep going. Yeah.
He was also doing these amazing whiff punishes back when there was a lot more input lag in the game. Now you have Punk, who's not only in this new faster version of the game, but he's also had some ample time. And I think you brought it up, Steve, saying that Karen didn't get much in the way, or maybe it was Danka, didn't get much in the way of buffs. In fact, she got a few nerfs. She more or less kind of just stayed where she was. But I think the significant thing here is a lot of the top tiers that were giving her a real hard time got some nerfs. And that's what we're seeing here as far as characters like that coming on, you know, on the up and up.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, a lot of the characters like Abigail, who gave her a lot of trouble, were nerfed. In general, you watch Punk and Johnny this weekend, and even if you're not a Karen player, it was just a masterclass of hit confirming and footsie game, and it made Street Fighter V look a lot different. I mean, you see Johnny doing Stand Fierce like 13 times in a row in the corner, no cancel on block or cancel into shoulder on block, and you know, into Tenko on hit every time. Punk is like making crouch medium kick look like it's a free 300 damage every time you're within range. These two guys played just insanely well, and they showed that, like, you know, Karen's a little bit more of a difficult character. She has to rely on those one-hit confirms. She has to rely on some tricky combos and, like, utilizing your meter efficiently in your combos, and they both did it all weekend, and, I mean, two Karens in top three. It's been a long time since we saw anything like
what,
that.
What did Punk do that Johnny didn't, or is it just that Momochi's played Johnny probably a lot?
There's that. Momochi and Johnny obviously have played tons of times. Now, their match was close. Theirs was 3-2. But I think Punk's a little better than Johnny, and I think Punk's tournament abilities are a lot more owned at this point. Punk does not appear to have any nerves left. I mean, he went to losers super early on in the tournament, won like 8 matches straight versus top players, whereas Johnny looked a little shaky at different times. And I think I think with more experience at the top echelon, because I think Johnny's best premier placement before this was like 17th. You know, it was nowhere near a top eight. I guess that's somewhere near it. But, you know, it wasn't on the echelon of a top eight. And I think if he gets a couple more of these, you'll start seeing him perform almost on the level of Punk.
But, man.
Punk's better, though.
Punk, I mean, just like is. Ran a train here. He was it 6-0?
I don't remember if it was 6-0, but he bodied him.
It was 3-0 and then 3-1.
So clearly Punk was on something here.
And I mean, Punk versus... The crazy thing this tournament was Punk versus Americans, where he just destroyed them. I mean, almost everyone in his path, JB, you know, CJ Truth, etc., they all just had nothing on him. And it looked like 2017 again.
Now, I want to take the opportunity to talk to you or ask you guys about Zeku. Now, if you've been following, you know that it's not like he came out of nowhere. People have been using him at high level. People have said that he's really good. Maybe people are sleeping on him. But what is Zeku's shtick here? What's the meta here with this character that was able to get Momochi, who's obviously one of the best players on the planet, to this level? I thought he was going to win, by the way.
They buffed young Zeku a lot. His stand Fierce is like this, like, I think you just saw it before this. It's like this two-hit Fierce that he can hit confirm.
The chop.
He's got like a plus 8 on hit medium that's 5 frames. His frame data just got really good out of nowhere. They kept buffing different moves, and his damage and basic poking game is pretty good. He's honestly not a very crazy character, despite the fact that you think of him as like this crazy stance character that's like switching and flying everywhere. Really, he just has good
moves. It's not like it's Gen.
No, he's not like Gen. He's honestly a pretty standard character.
Now, one thing I was seeing that I thought was cool and to me was reminiscent of Street Fighter 4 was that he's got moves that on wake up are tricky to see if he's going to land above and over or above in front. He's got like this little EX, little twirly flip. Jump.
Young Zeku went from like the worst character in the game to like a top tier, basically. And now you just play Young Zeku.
When do you use old Zeku?
I think when you have a life lead, he can zone. He has the kicks and a DP. But for the most part, you play Young.
Cool. So that was a ton of fun. That was a great tournament. It was really exciting. There was a lot of good matches in there. Some people are pointing out that it sucks that we didn't get to see Tokido versus Bonchan because I think he used Sagat. I just want more see some more Sagat.
It almost made
me want
to play Street Fighter V again. It's been a long time since I said that. A long time.
It almost made me want to pick up Karen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because that looks fun. You know, like that idea. It looks like... we don't need to spend more than 2 seconds on this, but it looks like you can play the game that people wanted to play when Street Fighter V released. And there's been so much BS and such in between, but now we have the low frame rate, the lower input lag, and it feels like you can actually play that game if people are around still wanting to play. But maybe they don't want to play the game at all because there is a bigger problem with Capcom and Street Fighter V at the moment.
I hear that you do a deep dive into that very topic on the Event Hubs podcast, and everybody listening here should go then and listen to that. You can listen to the sultry sounds of John's voice.
The balance of SF5 seems pretty good this season. Like, my idea was, like, I'm going to play SF5. Like, I'm going to pick the most broken character. And then I was like, shit, I don't know which one that is. Like, I actually had trouble. Like, the best character might be Rashid, Akuma, or Karen, who have all been nerfed, like, very hard since their best iterations.
I heard Vega was up there.
They might be up there, too. I'm just saying, if you look at all of those characters, they've been nerfed pretty severely from their best iteration. So the game is a lot tamer. Which I think is honestly the direction people wanted this game to go in. I don't think anyone wanted, like, Season 1 Chun to be better, you know? Like,
see, the thing is, like, if any of those characters that you just mentioned, including Bison or Birdie, if they do emerge as the, like, the undisputed top tier of the game, that's not a bad look for
I agree.
The game because they're not Season 3 Abigail or Season 3 Rashid or Season 1 Mika or Chun or whomever.
I completely agree. It's
they're
a lot more
tolerable.
They're
polarizing figures. Yeah.
Well,
defining
they everything. Will be. They will be if they reach that tier. You know, I think people don't want a small section of top tier characters. You either get a close balance where everyone's sort of tame and everyone's sort of within striking distance of each other, or you have this stuff where everyone's broken. If you only have like 4 or 5 characters that are broken and then the rest are tame, that's when you have the issues.
I will say, I think they missed a mark here. I'm sure you're about to bring this up, but like they didn't announce anything for the rest of the season. There was no, I mean, we haven't even gotten a season pass announcement, so we don't technically know anything really as far
well,
as...
Well, they said they're not doing a season
pass. Right, they said they're not
they
doing
said
a season
that
pass
from the beginning.
So we don't know like if characters are coming out, if whatever is coming out. And I think if the tournament had gone that well in combination with a character announcement, it would have been a pretty hype time for SF5. So hopefully something's coming soon.
You're wrong. They did announce something.
Oh, yeah. The stage is kind of cool. It's also kind of lazy. So I don't know. It's not like it doesn't really do a ton for me. I did like this game.
I'm really happy to see this stage. And I think especially the crowd that played Alpha or that appreciated the Street Fighter II movie, right? The animated movie appreciate this stage. The only thing and is that I think the grass sort of obstructs your view of the character's feet. And if it's too much, I haven't played on it myself yet. And I haven't heard any, obviously, word from Capcom because no one has. But like the fact that it kind of covers you up, maybe it's not tournament legal and that would suck. Because I hope it is. I really
like
it.
Yeah, it kind of looks really like good. Birdie's can might get covered. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I think the grass is low enough. Most of the tall grass is in the background. Mm-hmm. So I think it might be fine. We'll see. It'll be close.
I hope so.
I like the stage. It's a nice throwback.
Let me just say again that Kage really fucking sucks. He's lame, he's badly designed, and he's terrible. So, like, really, I hope they do something better than that.
John, I was trying to get to it earlier, but on the Event Hubs podcast, you guys do a deep dive into what's going on with Capcom? Is that what I understand? Right. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm sorry. Can I get a taste?
It's all good. So basically, after Final Round, as we just talked about on this show, was an amazing event. It was great as far as the production. It was great as far as the competition. I don't think we could have asked for more. And hey, if you're an American, well, we won, you know, and it was awesome. And it was feel goods all around. But of course, everyone was anticipating that Capcom would surely, if they weren't going to do it at Evo Japan, it's been over 3 months now. Final Round, the kickoff to the Pro Tour, would be the place that they're going to reveal something in the way of new characters or what they're doing for Season 4. You know, the we're doing something differently and you'll find out soon. Well, people are waiting. And they didn't give anything. And it's unfortunate because it feels like right afterwards, instead of celebrating how much of a success Final Round was, all the discussion was that Capcom hasn't said anything or done anything. And that's valid because Capcom has built this game as a service. They've set an expectation and then now they're not meeting that expectation and that sucks. But we basically jump into it on the podcast and talk about, well, why wouldn't they have done this? Maybe it's because they're moving people over to a different development team so that they can work on something in the future and there's much less in the way of manpower to be doing this and so they're falling behind or something along those lines. We talk about what the effect is going to be on the community, how people might be viewing the game now. And actually, I just wrote an article I wrote an article earlier today. It just went live about 10 minutes ago on the site, basically telling people that, you know, there's this wave of negativity surrounding Street Fighter right now. And it's appropriate, I think, in some ways. But we don't have to have new characters to enjoy the game. So if you enjoy the game, if you enjoy playing it, don't fall into the trap or the idea that it's incomplete or that it's obsolete without an update. I think the game is very good with where it's at right now as far as balance, as far as options and modes and whatnot. Like, it's a much more complete game than it ever has been, especially after Arcade Edition dropped. You can play it, but I think it's time that we as a community stop looking for announcement or stop swinging from announcement to announcement with Capcom because it's a relationship that just feels abusive at this point. We have enough. Let's just play the game in front of us and treat any further reveals as added bonuses, but not expectations, because like otherwise we're just going to always have this bad taste in our mouths and this feeling of disappointment, and you don't want your experience to be that way. So yeah, I still wag a finger of shame at Capcom for basically setting up expectations and not fulfilling them. But at the same time, it's like, hey, if you enjoy playing Street Fighter V, just play Street Fighter V and let's stop worrying about character reveals.
That's fair enough. But again, as you pointed out, the caveat is if you enjoy Street Fighter V, we did have somebody in our Discord Blue saying, and I thought it was a little bit ironic, he says, if I can make any request for the show tonight, please talk about this. I'm so tired with having this discussion talked about from every Street Fighter streamer and YouTuber, can't believe one. So he's sick and tired of people talking about the expectation that he would like for us to talk about it. So we're going to talk about it. Going off what you were saying, sorry, a second, Steve, you're up next here. If you are not in your category of people who do enjoy it and everything should be gravy, anything else should be gravy, stop swinging from announcement to announcement, which is, I think, is a good way to put it. I am looking for a reason to come back to the game, to be honest. That is literally what I'm looking for.
The game could be the fucking same, and if they did a better job talking about it, people would like it more. I don't know. This model's so goddamn antiquated, and like, you know, like American games from small studios are just blowing them out of the water as far as the way they talk about patch notes, they describe things, they do things, and it's not just a language barrier at this point. They could get the Japanese players to do it, and that'd be even better. Probably we'd like that even more. So I mean, they could do better. And
Bandai
it's not Namco about the game anymore.
50 common questions from the fans list, and they answered or they attended to all of the questions.
Yeah, the game is like the last thing that even matters at this point, in my opinion. It's just everything else.
It just has no charisma.
Yeah, zero charisma. Because the game's fine. The game is good. I mean, it's not. Mm-hmm. You might not love it. You might not even like it. But I mean, it's not a bad game.
What was your line, your famous line, Steve? And some people play Street Fighter when we had some Street Fighter reps.
I'm never going to live that down.
Anyway, what were you going to say, Steve, earlier?
I was going to say that, look, if you're waiting for a reason to come back, I don't think you're going to get it.
I know I'm not going to get it.
Any character they can announce or any mechanic that they can announce will fundamentally change the way the game is. If you like Street Fighter V, play it. If you don't. But to touch on what John was talking about earlier, yeah, I do feel like we have this level of expectation that isn't necessarily fair and might not necessarily be healthy. You know, we always are looking for the new season pass, the new character, the new mechanic, the new season. We're always waiting for more content. And we are in year four of Street Fighter V. So it's not surprising that things are slowing down, if things are actually slowing down.
Did anybody ever... Sorry.
What bothers me is this idea that back in January, or back in December, excuse me, they told us, hey, we're doing something different this year. We can't wait to tell you more. It's been 3 months, and they have not told us more.
Yeah, different just
seems like
less.
Doing something different was less fight money.
If there's not going to be as many characters, if there's not going to be as much content, or the content that comes out is going to be a different kind, that's fine. I just want to know. Just let me know, hey, you know, we're going to have 3 more characters this year. Fine. Or we're not going to roll out any more characters, but we're going to do other things to keep the community engaged. Fine. Just let me know. That's all I ask. Don't leave me in the dark. Don't tell me that you can't wait to tell us what's going on and then wait to tell us what's going on.
Yep, absolutely. And so it all comes down to like what was Mike was getting at. It's all the way that this is slanted. It has almost nothing to do with the game itself anymore as far as how fun it is to play. It's all about the charisma. It's all about the way people view it. It's the relationship that we have with Capcom or the lack thereof. It's the feeling of not being acknowledged. I would go as far as the feeling to it feels like a disrespect, you know, but there's other stuff to do. So again, if you like it, you can play it. And if you don't like it, you can go play other stuff, man. And it's all good, but don't get caught up in feeling like if they don't release something new, then the game is not okay to play, or I should boycott it, unless you feel disrespected. But here's something I wanted to ask Steve. From what you were saying, what if I just lost it? I'll come back to me.
I do want to say one thing that, as far as the state of the game, that I thought was interesting. The grand finals was Karen versus Zeku. Those are two of the worst V triggers in the game. Like, two of the worst V-trigger characters in the game. Zeku's are like straight up the worst. Like, he has like an unusable V-trigger 2. And like a mediocre V-trigger 1 that's basically just a cancel into another string. And Karen only gets like 2 Rekkas now, and like they're not particularly strong. So like V-trigger Fighter 5 is not the way it works anymore. There's still characters who rely on it, but it's a different game than when you hated it. Like, you might still hate it, but it's a different game now.
But how hard is it to get that that launch taste out of people's mouths.
It's first it's impressions are impossible. Forever sometimes. Yeah. I don't know.
Karen's triggers are trash. Look, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. Like, absolute trash compared to any good state of the game.
Super D in our chat asked a question that I actually don't have the answer for. Who is the community manager now? The shift of responsibility according to position is kind of dismissive, in my opinion. At least point us to the right person to direct questions. It's not Michael Martin.
No, he didn't. In fact, he came out with a tweet after all the shit hit the fan on social media and said, like, I'm in charge of the esports side. We came out to do final rounds, nothing else. And this is the only time I'm going to say this. And it's like, well, yeah. So he's basically just kind of passing blame. And I don't blame him for that. I mean, at this point, all I can do is blame Capcom as a company. I don't dislike Michael Martin. I don't dislike Mama Dao. I know both of those people do really good work, and I think that they contribute plenty. I'm sure they do. But at the end of the day, like, Capcom's name gets put on everybody that works for them, and at the end of the day, we're upset with Capcom, and there isn't really a face to associate with that because Capcom won't tell us.
Has anybody ever felt like Street Fighter V was a service? That was the original proposition, if you recall.
What year? Not a good one. Not an efficient one.
No.
It feels like they are testing the waters in so many ways. You know, they've been trying to get the best of both worlds, and I've said this before. You know, they release the game, but then then you have the season pass. You have the attempt at an in-game currency. Remember Zenny? That was supposed to roll out at launch, never did. So now it's just fight money. I do expect to see Street Fighter VI, if and when it does come out, it will be much closer to a free-to-play, pay-as-you-go sort of game.
If it's not, they fucked up. Yeah, I mean, for sure.
And I think that all these things like ads and like my fingers are crossed that a good in-game economy will be a thing. But I think all these places where Street Fighter V kind of like tried but really more or less missed the mark, I think that I hope that they'll come back with something much better in those, and that this was all testing bed to get all the problems out right now. But I remember what I wanted to ask Steve. The idea that, you know, we're going along here and maybe it's the fact that people are looking forward to the next update because they don't feel satisfied with what's going on right now. That might be how some people are feeling about things. And I guess if that's the case, I find that valid. But do you think that could be what's going on with people, is that the reason why we're always looking forward to the next thing is because we're still not happy, as though it were like the early days when I think that was a much more valid concern because we didn't have like half the modes and half the characters that we have now. But yeah, that might be a thing too.
I think it's partly that. I think it's partly that, you know, companies have this expectation where you have to constantly talk about what's coming next to keep people excited. And I think it's because so many other companies are out there killing it. You know, there's so much competition from fighting games. You know, more so now than I think at any other point in history, in terms of high-profile fighting games just knocking it out of the park in terms of communication with their fans, in terms of content, in terms of delivering what fans want. So you can't really rest on your laurels. And that's not just a Capcom thing. That's the company we're talking about right now. But the same thing applies to Tekken. The same thing applies to Mortal Kombat. You have to sort of play this game of, we got to come out with something, because guess what? With so many games out there, somebody else is coming out with something almost every week.
You know which game and game developer does have quite a good amount of communication recently? Bandai Namco. You alluded to this earlier. Lon is the one that pointed this out to me, is that Soul Calibur 6 had a big old Q&A. All the questions you guys have been asking us, here are the answers. There's some stuff in here about DLC, single-player content, the cadence at which they're updating the game, if that has a negative impact.
And I'd still put them way behind the American companies like NetherRealms or like Iron Galaxy. So, I mean, there's a lot of places doing
well. And some of the answers there were not really answers. I don't remember off the top of my head, but some of them were like, yeah, we'll look into it, but don't expect much. And even that is significantly better than soon, winky face, and then nothing for at least four months. you know.
But before I move on to, yes, I know you want to continue to talk about how Capcom is trash at communication. But Elon pointed something out to me I thought was interesting. Elon, if you want to mic yourself up here. Somebody asked about giving the frame data for the game, and their policy is no. What was the reasoning there?
Okay, so I guess from the development side of Team Soul, they see releasing official frame data as a deterrent to the more casual players, because their assumption is that the more casual players are going to assume that frame data is a necessity in order to play the game, and that's going to scare them off. So because of that, they're shying away from releasing official.
Sure, but what casual has ever been like, wait, there's frame data involved in this game? I'm not going to play.
Your black spot on the website. I don't know, man. Just put it like somewhere where.
Look at it.
They also said that that's fun to find frame data or something along those lines. That's all part of the experience, is going online and finding whatever.
Feel a sense of accomplishment.
Which I thought was a pretty BS part of the answer. And I don't know how much weight or water the first part holds either, though.
Yeah, I mean that is BS. That is a BS answer. But what I encourage you to do is go to YouTube, look up any final from like Evo or something with a lot of zoning or a lot of long combos, and you will see comment after comment after comment about people saying stuff that we would consider and scrub quotes worthy. There is a big difference between our section of the world, which is important to please because we're the biggest evangelists for a game, and the casual audience that makes up, you know, 70, 80, 90% of sales. They just want to play. They don't feel like they don't want to have to contribute hours and hours and hours to be somewhat decent. They just want to go in and have fun. So I do feel there's some truth to that first part of the answer.
Okay, how did Tekken do? I was surprised by the numbers on that and on Dragon Ball, but then again, they weren't like parts of the circuit, so I feel like if you want good numbers on your tournament stream, kind of have to be part of the circuit. Is that true?
Getting there.
Or is that BS? Is that even worth talking about? We could save it for another day.
We might want to save that for another day, because we've got...
I'll tell you what I don't want to save for another day, Steve. Bringing us back to the game of the hour is this fucking crazy ass synchronized street fighting. So when I first saw this, I was like, what? Then I was like, what? That's all.
It's cool.
This was, this has just blown up on social media. You know, there's a few different retweets of this. The clip I saw has about 6.5 million views.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Over 140,000 retweets. They're like, even if you aren't a major fighting game fan or someone who watches shows like ours, you can be impressed by what you're seeing on screen, even if you realize that it is synchronized, you know, or colluded.
It's the professional wrestling of Street Fighter right here.
Right. And then the finish is just awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they kept it up that long is pretty impressive. I mean, it's not... There's a lot of buffer in the game, but it's not easy to do that, especially because a lot of it wasn't just buffer tricks. I mean, they really planned that out, so it looked cool. And I mean, yeah, I'm guessing a lot of the reaction is people thinking it was real, but, you know, like, so be it.
Some announcements before we get to a topic. There's a couple of topics that I'm interested to get people's opinions on, that being Mortal Kombat 11 stress test and the other being the Smash coaching stuff during Mars versus Wishes at Collision. But first, we're going to go through a couple of news items. One, Kid Goku, GT, confirmed. Another cool. Goku. You're excited. Anything to add to there?
Not really.
There's another Goku in the game.
Too many Gokus.
King of Fighters.
How many Gokus to make a stew? Go ahead.
At least seven. You know, is that really a complaint? I mean, Goku is such a, you know, I was reading up on some people's opinions on this, and they feel like, especially in the Japanese community, it feels like almost disrespectful to not have your favorite era of a character represented.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I've never really cared about that, to be honest, personally. Some people get bothered.
I don't give a shit.
I've become a combo fiend, though. They're all functions to me now. Oh, like, I've become...
Well, when there's 10 fucking Gokus, yeah. I can see that.
They're functions.
Pour one out for Pete Rosas, for SB. Okay, so what's King of Fighters All-Star RPG?
I don't even know.
Not a fighting game.
It's not a fighting game, but it is an RPG game based on King of Fighters. It includes 50 characters. They just announced that it is coming to the West. It was released late last year in Japan. Now it's coming to the U.S. I didn't see an exact date. So if you're a fan of King of Fighters but don't actually want to play King of Fighters, hey. Have I got a deal for you?
Do you also have to be a fan of RPGs?
It might help. Okay. You know.
Google announced not a new console, but basically a new gaming service that looks like somewhere between Netflix and YouTube Gaming and Twitch Killer. And so basically anywhere you have a Chrome tab open, you can play video games in 4K and at a high clip. Do we think, first of all, is there any, I didn't actually catch the GDC keynote because I was at work. I'm not on spring break like some people.
Did you watch it? I had to watch it for work.
I watched a little bit after John mentioned it, but not a lot. So, I know it has save states.
So John, what did I miss? Can you give us a quick and dirty on why this is game changer?
You really need to watch the whole thing to do it justice. But essentially... you're taking the idea of playing on a console and all the limits that a console would have, and Google is making all the heavy lifting to be done in this giant like Nirvana cloud of Google data that just kind of hovers above the earth, metaphorically speaking. And so you can play on your PC with just whatever power. Or your tablet, or your phone, or even your television, as long as I assume there'll be some kind of an app, you can basically beam in to any of the games that they offer and start playing almost immediately. So it's like the idea is you can send somebody a link, they click on that link, and they're playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey immediately. And again, all of the heavy lifting, or the majority of the heavy lifting, is done on the side of Google and in their data and such. So it's like, you're not running into the kind of restrictions, and more specifically, developers aren't running into the kind of restrictions that getting an entire game on, like, say, a PlayStation console that are presented there. It also allows, this is all in theory because it hasn't been put into practice yet, but it'll allow for the return of couch co-op. For those that are unaware of what that is, it means that you play two-player with your game, with your buddy there physically with you as opposed to over the internet. The reason why that tends to be going away in modern times is because these games are so powerful that having two screens showing the same thing but from different perspectives is very difficult for these systems to handle. So it all has to be over the internet where, you know, you have one Xbox or one PS4 doing its thing, and then you have a whole other one to present the other information to the other player. But with this, you can have, like, I think they showed like 8 different angles of the same thing going on at once. So it sounds at first like it's like way too good to be true, and that it will redefine gaming for everyone big time. And it's coming out here in 2019. But immediately people that kind of know a thing or two about this are like, there are going to be a lot of problems with this. And for whatever reason, it's going to be in the way of lag, probably because of people's internet connections. It seems like a lot of the things Google was saying were implying for that people were all using pretty state-of-the-art internet and power as far as that goes. And of course, that's not going to be the case. And already, I think it was Digital Foundry found they found it, and they were able to do some kind of a test on it. And there was like at least 10 frames of lag just to start off with. They said something to the effect of, this would work for maybe like a card or a turn-based game, but anything beyond that, it's like, no, this is horrible. So, and I mean, it was announced today. Like, and it's not out yet.
There are
a lot of things that remain to be seen. But it sounds like the best thing ever. And like I said, we'll redefine gaming. But there are a lot of naysayers right now. And so bringing this back to fighting games, which tend to be, you know, the most particular in the way of you need to have like flawless connection and flawless this and that because we're worried about single frames. My guess is that it won't be working for fighting games anytime soon.
Okay. Well, you did beat me to my question and answered it, so I guess we can move on. It'll be cool to see what they do.
This doesn't feel like it's the thing that will change everything, but it feels like it could be the thing that leads to the thing that leads to the thing that the changes
beginning?
Everything.
Sure.
This is an important step. The challenge is going to be, we have seen, you know, cloud gaming done before, you know, in the form of online, in the form of PlayStation Now. How is Google's got a lot of money in the bank to throw at this problem, but how are they going to overcome those problems that those companies could not?
It's
going to
suck
in terms
if it comes
of
out this year. I don't know. That's my opinion, but I don't know.
I mean, if anyone's going to do it, it's Google, right? But even then, you're like, we'll believe it when we see it.
Yeah. Can I just add something real quick?
Moving on. We're going to talk about... Dang, Elon, go for it.
I mean, no, it's fine. I give up. This is already a thing. It's not necessarily new. There is a service called Liquid Sky that I used for a little while where they do run a virtual machine through the cloud, and you can then play games. And it's great for games that are not fighting games where, you know, the minor... frame different or the frame
lag.
Input lag is not a big deal. There's also another service called Parsec where you can host people on your own machine and they can connect to you via the internet. And it's much like the same thing that they're trying to do. And yeah, there are issues with it as far as like playing fighting games and everything because there is a very distinct input lag. But again, I think it was mentioned that because Google has so many resources to do the research and development on this, if they do get it right, I think it could be something very cool.
Am I crazy in remembering, did YouTube gaming officially flop or is it like laying dormant? Because
I think it exists, right?
I think you're right. But I think the idea here is, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I watched a couple of seconds of this GDC presentation on YouTube gaming before I had to get back to work. But the idea that it's going to be seamless to stream or a lot easier, less barriers of entry to stream, that might then not only really launch YouTube gaming in the way that they probably originally expected, but also put a dent in Twitch's piece of the pie. I find an uphill battle. Maybe not impossible because it is Google, right? But if anybody is going to fight toe-to-toe with Google, it's Amazon.
I mean, there's cool, like, I mean, I saw, like, the whole save state thing could be cool for fighting games. If I can, like, drop, like, hey, y'all, like, I found this glitch, like, here's the recreate, have at it, or, like, here's a set of cool training mode things that you can try out. I've set up all the recording functions, like, click this link, and you can play versus these recordings and test your stuff, like, there'd be great. There's great stuff that could happen there, but even without the latency mattering, even like without 1v1 being a thing. So, I mean, there's cool stuff there. And I think, hopefully it works out. I don't know.
Naleb says, guys, first this machine needs to sell crazy. It's not even a machine. There's nothing physical about it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's
aside from the controller.
Yeah, right. Well, according to the presentation, it's on anything that you can open up a Google Chrome window in. So right, it's going to be... So it makes me think that it's going to be a browser-based thing, and then they're probably going to switch to an app later, which, again, might cause a lot of issues with how we view games now with latency and, you know, all that other shenanigans. But, you know, I think it's going to be one of those wait-till-we-see-it type situations, so until we can make, like, a formal how-is-this-going-to-affect-us judgment.
All right, guys, cool. Let's keep an eye out on that and see what develops with the Stadia, as in where games were originally played.
Something like that.
Mortal Kombat 11 stress test was this weekend, and I saw a lot of people playing it. I saw a lot of people streaming it. I saw a lot of people tweeting about it. Mike, you're already shaking your head.
I just think it's funny because, like, it could be the coolest game ever, and, like, it might be. I didn't play it. I have no idea. But, like, people talked about shills for other games. I have not, like, every negative comment for this game is prefaced by, like, six paragraphs of, like, seriously, I love everything about this game. It's perfect, like, but, and then there's, like, 20 paragraphs of complaining.
The beginning of Sonic Fox's thoughts now that you've
they're insane.
Set that up so
do
perfectly.
It. Yeah. Every one of them is like this. Like, who are they paying? I don't know.
But before you get into it, John, just what we're watching here is Ketchup versus Mustard, Twin Bros. This is from their YouTube channel. We're playing a little bit of it just for the flavor of it, but get it, the condiment flavor. But you should go to their YouTube channel and please patronize them and watch this video. Go ahead, John.
So I've looked at, there have been plenty of these kind of reviews and reactions, and I've looked at Sonic Foxes and I've looked at Maximilian's, and there's a lot of overlap between the two. So I figured I'd share some of the highlights of Sonic Fox. Now, Mike said that a lot of these are prefaced with, this is the best ever, but... And that's about what I was getting as well. So the beginning of Sonic Fox's post here, Mortal Kombat 11 thoughts. So right now, I honestly think NRS has created something special. I think this game is actually going to be one of the greatest fighting games in existence, and I hope it lasts long. The pacing of the game, the footsies, the neutral, it's literally everything I have ever wanted in a fighting game. With that being said, I also had a lot of gripes after playing it for like 12 hours straight. So yes, all in all, it's like, this is good, and here are some things that probably should be changed, which is exactly what, you know, developers are looking for through a beta test. One of the most common things that came out as far as problems was the movement. The game's speed seems, it's supposed to be slower than traditional Mortal Kombat's or past Mortal Kombat's have been, but it's so slow that people really aren't liking it. Now, that might just be a shock because they're used to something else and this will be something that they acclimate to, but it also might be that I think things like dashes are slower than walking forward. I saw that somewhere. I haven't tested it myself, but if that's the case, it's like, okay, maybe your movement's a little bit on the slow side if that's true. Oh, it's right here, actually. walking forward was faster than dashing, and it shouldn't be. That's what Sonic Fox said.
Yet again, this is going to say, right before this, I'm going to bring something up, which is that I didn't play this game. I don't know it. It might be great. It might not be. But there's something that I want to think of as like the footsie fallacy, which is that every time a new game comes out, people are like, oh, the footsies are the greatest footsies ever. It's a pure footsie game. People don't know their combos. People don't know their best buttons. People don't know their Oki setups. People don't know their safe 50-50s. The game is going to be way more footsie heavy when neither of you know what the hell you're doing than it is going to be when you've learned exactly what the best stuff is. So yes, when neither of you has any idea what you're doing, you're going to be hitting each other one hit at a time, and the guy who's better at sweeping is going to win. But we have no idea. You don't know who does 80 off each hit. You don't know who has a 50-50. You don't know nothing yet. So, I mean, The footsies might suck. They might be great. It's impossible to tell.
You're absolutely right. You know, it's very early to say that any game in day negative 30 or whatever it is the best footsie game of all time. Also, it's impossible for this to be the best footsie game of all time because Power Rangers Battle for the Grid is the best footsie game of all time.
Better than footsies?
Footsies is up there. Footsies is a solid number two.
Hey, Didn't Ed Boon come out and say that the movement is better in the latest build, that this is an early
I think
version?
There was something to that effect, yes, on Twitter, that that it's already going to be faster, so don't worry about that. So, hey, moot point. Just wasted 5 minutes of you guys' lives. Here's something, though. The combo breaker system. So Mortal Kombat has had combo breakers in the past. That's a fairly delicate mechanic because you're going to very quickly kind of take away from the competitive side of things if you can just break combos for free. This one... is what's it called, the breakout system, where you essentially fall out of a combo while your opponent is doing it for a certain amount of meter. As it stands right now, you can fall out of a combo during certain moves that have so much recovery that you can actually punish your opponent for having been hitting you with a combo. That's a big issue, but another thing that you get sorted out here in the beta version, so it's not there when the full version drops on April 23rd. And you have to assume that that's going to be something that's fixed. Otherwise, people are going to immediately, you know, lower the status of this game in their minds and such. But yeah, that's probably the biggest thing that I've seen as far as like the most glaring issue, save for the movement speed that's already being attended to.
There was one other one I heard, which was that there's a perfect guard system where you can you can press the block button right at the time you get hit. And basically the idea is like, it's supposed to add skill to blocking. This exists in tons of fighting. I'd say like half the anime fighting games has something like this, but it's a lot easier when you're using a block button one to kind of like option select the timing. Cause like, right, if you're in an anime game or even Street Fighter and you try to go off a block and back the block, you're vulnerable for a second. Whereas releasing and pressing a button is really fast in comparison to moving the joystick. So not only is it really easy to do, but apparently you get like full punishes. So like a lot of block strings are like useless, is what Sonic Fox was saying, the way that it currently works. So, I mean, I'm not sure if I think a lot of things are being reacted to quickly, but it does sound strong at the very least.
The other thing, so Sonic says that, well, he said, I think the way flawless blocking and chip works is fantastic, but then he has like three more paragraphs.
He's like,
where
but
he
it
says
sucks. Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's like, it's great, but it's fucking terrible, man. Like, you die instantly.
Hey, so quick question. Well, quick question on that. Yeah. John, since you played it, I guess I'm posing this to you. In the reveal event, the way that they presented flawless block is that you needed to use meter in order to then get a punish, or else you wouldn't even get a frame advantage on block if you did the flawless block.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still the same case, or?
I don't know. I didn't do, when I played it on the last day when it was just against the computer and I was mainly just doing fatalities. So I was trying to get a feel for it, but I didn't get any like of that technical stuff in where you would play another person and figure it out. And I was only playing for about half an hour. So I don't have an answer to
that. The one thing I will say is I'm glad people are happy about it. Like, people seem to like, every complaint was prefaced by good, which is overall a good thing, even though I'm making fun of it. Like, the fact that people want to play this game is good.
That means it has the charisma that Street Fighter doesn't.
Yeah, I hope it's great. I hope people love it. Like,
I'll tell you what I love. Check out this tweet here from Sonic Fox. Another 13-0. It ain't looking good for you in this game either, Perfect Legend. And then if we zoom in, he's got 13 wins. He's about to have the 13th win on him in a row.
This kind of blew up.
And, I'm not going to lie, I shouldn't even say this.
Perfect Legend, he's using his character variation titled Chain Reaction. And what's Sonic Fox's character creation there, Elon?
I'm gay.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's hilarious. And he's wearing the blue like his furry persona.
The other thing is damage over time moves. I think Scarlet has one, can kill you. So right along there with chip damage kills and such. If you do a DOT move, it can actually kill. So that's something that feels a little bit overpowered, at least according to Sonic Fox. And I'm inclined to agree. Thinking about the other games that have that and what that kind of implies.
How much better would Fang be? Yeah.
Yeah.
So this game has three default loadouts, right? Per character? Am I making that up?
They're really not. There's three, like, sample variations, basically. But they're not variations in the way they were in... Like, the design of the game is that you pick moves
so that's
for your character to have.
That's what I wanted to talk about. Is that, are we sure that that's what it's going to be like?
I don't think that's how it's going to be in tournament. I think
it would be hard to create your character in a tournament
setting.
Unless
they make it really easy on the character select screen to be like, I want this, 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 and it's fast, and there aren't a lot of options. I think it'll probably be the sample loadouts.
And
like that.
Wouldn't that be cool, right, if you could have... 10
I think that'd
different
be fine.
Scorpion.
Yeah, if you can have
10
different
styles.
Scorpions, I don't care. I'm okay with that.
I think I have an idea on how you can make this work. You know, instead of calling them loadouts, you can give them another name. Like gems. Let's say and you can select a certain number of these gems, and you just have to memorize the number of which one, and you select them before your match.
Got to be so easy, yeah. Or otherwise it sucks.
I'm surprised no one has ever done that before.
Steve.
Hey, what did they do for Injustice?
Injustice, they were tied to like items and shit, yes. So they were just completely removed. Like no one used them.
Okay.
Like, default only.
I think that's one of those things that we're going to have to wait for, you know, the Mortal Kombat tour to get announced and how they're going to deal with it.
They have full power. I mean, if they're going to put money into the game, they can make us play however the hell they want.
Yeah, because that was, I think, a point of conversation throughout this stress test is how they're going to handle all the variations.
I think it's a good idea, personally. I think people have this weird, like, ooh, like, if we have different things, it's going to be bad and unbalanced. Mm-hmm. Like, if they can, it's just more, moves are easier to balance than characters, probably.
Right,
like, it's not that big of a deal.
You might have a move that's
if it's
broken.
Easy to, the reason gems sucked is because they were, like, weird power-ups of stats. They weren't moves, you know?
Auto
they were
block.
Very auto-block. They were strange, and you had to load them out in advance. If it's, like, pick Scorpion and then pick two moves, I don't think that's a big deal. But I don't really know enough.
You also had paid DLC gems that were outright better than some of the
other
gems. I love
the paid DLC gems.
Yeah, I bet you did. All right, well, I'm looking forward to that. It should be a really exciting game. I can't wait to play. Who did you play as Baraka and just did the brain eating for your girlfriend?
I did all three.
How many characters were in the beta?
It was just Scorpion, Baraka, Scarlet.
She's like, I'm not watching this anymore.
I felt so guilty.
Well, the next one's a beta that everyone can get
in
if you pre-order.
So this
game,
was
right?
back in Mortal Kombat X days, and Johnny Cage had an X-ray move where he would do the split into Nut Punch, and the testicles would just explode. And oh my God, I'm going to share a story, but I'm embarrassed to admit it. I was like, oh my God. And I like did that to my coworker. I'm like, hey, check this out. Female coworker. She was not impressed. She was offended. She's like, why did you make me watch that? And I immediately felt guilty. I still feel bad about it. I don't know why.
Cassie has that same, well, a variation of it, but the same thing happens and it's just as hard to watch.
Anyway, I think it's going to be exciting. Oh, and there's also a rumor, a potential that at the Combat Cast tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, they might reveal two characters. I hope it's the two new story characters that would be legit new characters to the series, to the franchise. I cannot wait.
You were fiending for a Combat Cast last week.
You keep talking about Combat Casts.
I love it. I just like seeing any time that a game does like that slow drip of reveals. There was one iteration of Smash Brothers. It might have been
Brawl.
Things, and they did it for like a year in advance.
It was insane. Yeah, Japan.
I loved it.
I remember like it was yesterday.
I would like refresh that shit. I wanted to see what was coming. I think it's fun, right? Because you're excited about the property, and they're like, you know, giving you a little bit. So yeah, I like Combat Cast because you get to see new stuff, guys. So we talked about how it'll be up to not the tournament organizers potentially, but maybe NetherRealm's Warner Brothers proper.
Yeah, I think now people will complain their asses off if it's not what they want, but I'm sure, I mean, they can do whatever they want.
But
there's a lot of ex-pro fighting game players on the NetherRealm staff at this point.
True.
They won't do something out of control, I don't think.
Well, I do want to talk about something that's out of control when it comes to tournament organizers and the rules therein. And that is, let me paint a picture. You're playing your set. It's Mike versus John.
Okay.
Playing Street Fighter. Vega versus Nikali. And then somebody yells, hey, he keeps doing the command grab when you're trying to play with your roses. Or whatever the hell Vega does. And you're like, oh shit, I better stop playing with my roses. And then you win.
And I should be DQ'd for sure, right? Now. So basically, the background here is that there was two players, Mars and Wishes, who are both, you know, very good. Mars, nearly one of the best players, period, playing their set. And a dude who apparently, unrelated to either guy, had been screaming Wishes advice about Mars during the set. And to his defense, Mars had been apparently, you know, telling him to stop, trying to get him to stop. People had been telling him to stop. He kept screaming. And he was giving supposedly specific advice. Do I think that means jack shit as a player? No. If someone was screaming something from the crowd, if anything, it would distract me. Like, I don't think it would help me at all. But regardless, he was doing this. There was a rule against it. And during the final game of the set, Mars was so fed up with this that during the match, after he loses his second to last stock, he stands up and walks off the stage. At some point, the TO catches wind of this. They get in a discussion about it. Wishes says he's going to DQ himself if they make them replay the match. They say, well, you better replay the match or DQ yourself. He decides to play it. They start from where Mars got up, and Mars ends up winning and then going on to win the tournament. I think it was really bad. I think it was a really bad precedent to set. This dude was not at all colluded with Wishes as far as anyone knows. So, which is basically get screwed over by an outside source. And I don't think I think Mars could have handled it in a better way by dealing with it in between the set, by refusing to play on, by going to get a TO. I think rewarding someone for getting up when they're losing is a really, really rough slope. And I think the fact that Mars is a more famous and popular player than Wishes plays into this. I think that if I was playing versus Leffen or Armada and got up because someone was screaming coaching towards them versus me, I'd be laughed off the fucking stage, you know? Or if Wishes had done the same thing in reverse. So that's my take on it. People are definitely not necessarily aligning with that take, though. I'd say there's a lot on both sides, but a lot of people think, you know, coaching's the devil in Smash. They're very serious about it. We sometimes have coaching bans, but I don't remember really a time where it became a huge deal in the FGC. And sometimes we just outright allow it. So it's a different climate.
And it wasn't coaching, but like there's obviously the famous, the head crones, right? Wolf Crone was getting heckled. And they're like, dude, you got to bring your own headset. You're a professional. You should know better. Is there an element of like, dude, get some noise canceling headphones or something. Be an adult.
I just feel like if you're going to be that upset by it, then you should handle it by during an earlier point in the set or in between matches, dealing with it then. But the way he handled it, if he had won, he could have not said anything or popped off about it later. But by losing, he gave himself the chance to replay the game. So I don't know. I don't like it. Oh, well.
I mean, that's officially, I lost this match. I'm walking away.
Basically. Yeah.
Wow.
And it real, I mean, like, replaying, if you're going to say that the coaching helped Wishes and that he was in on it, then you DQ him. If the rule is no coaching and you think he cheated by coaching, then you DQ him. You don't make them replay the match. So, I don't know. It was unfortunate. Making people replay matches in those kind of outside situations is always horrible. I think the result of the replay is always going to be like a horrible asterisk that doesn't represent the two players at their best, which is exactly what we're trying to figure out. If you already won a match and you're told to replay it, you're going to play like shit. I think it's like almost, I think I'd love to see the stats on it. I think the people who are forced to replay lose like the vast majority of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
gentlemen,
it sucks.
What do y'all think?
I equate it to, like, I mean, if a basketball player is shooting a free throw and somebody yells at him from the crowd, I mean, if it gets to a certain point where you're legitimately disrupting what's going on the floor and you're taking the competition out of it, security removes you. Otherwise, it's just on the players to ignore the sounds from the crowd, which is always going to be, I mean, in football, you talk about the 11th man, right? The influence from the crowd is always going to be there. So that's part of this. And I mean, I've been in plenty of tournaments, you know, situations, and like, that's there, that's real, but it's part of the experience. And I also think we need
coaching, but yeah, go ahead. I think you're right. Well, and like, yeah, we should have
little,
coaching.
It's a little more when it's coaching, but at the same time, I mean, to me, that's part of what's going on. I mean, people are yelling anything, you know, something funny that made you laugh or something that gave you the information that you needed to, you know, from the bird's eye view, whatever. Like, it just, that it seems like it's all fair game. And if it's specifically not, then you have to have people that are there enforcing the rule that you're going to put down. That wasn't the case. At this point, I say the match continues pretty much no matter what. And I don't think this was a special case where you would have stopped things for any of these reasons.
Do you think that FGC TOs are tougher, more authoritative than Smash TOs?
Let me pull that back, because there are some rules. If you look at tennis, they have rules specifically saying that you cannot be coached during the set. That was, if you remember, the whole blow up with Serena Williams, right, at the U.S. Open this past year. That started because the umpire saw something that from her player's box that they believe constituted coaching, and that led to that entire meltdown there.
Did they replay it, or did they just stop it where she was penalized?
She was penalized a point, and then there was argument afterwards that became, you know, a game penalty. It built from there. I don't remember the exact path.
Well, this is all foreign to me, because when we're playing, you hear people shout out all the time, he's just jumping a lot, you know, be ready for that constantly. I mean, it's not exactly one-to-one, because we're talking about, you know, locals here in Arizona or something like that, but as far as I'm concerned, that's just part of the package. So you could, I'm sure, make an argument, and specifically you could make an argument if you already have specific rules put in place and you have the means to enforce those rules, then sure, do whatever you want. But in this situation, it felt like something happened, the rules weren't enforced, and then you went and applied like the solution or the remedy after the fact. And like Mike was getting to, it's just, that's almost always a bad look.
I think what bothers me the most is honestly that I feel like it was a result of bullying and popularity contest. And you would be really hard pressed to convince me that this would have happened with any one player versus any other player. I think it would not have.
Steve, you a big Serena Williams fan?
She cool.
Nice.
I'm a big Serena Williams fan.
guys, are we out of topics? What's going on? We didn't do a question of the day. We don't have a block grab unless somebody wants to pull an impromptu one. I did not pick an awesome list of, you know, Mortal Kombat characters really? That should come back.
We do have revealed. There is one thing I did want to mention. Dead or Alive, Core Fighters. They released a Core Fighters version for DOA 5. They did just release one for Dead or Alive 6. So on all major consoles as well as PC. You can download the game for free, and it gives you access to four characters, Kasumi, Hitomi, Diego, and Bass. And you get online play. You get a few other modes. You don't get the story mode, though, and you only get those four characters. You can purchase the story mode for $20.
What's DOA without story mode, man? I mean, keep going.
You can also purchase additional characters. Individual characters are $4 right now. They do have character packs, which is like $50 for everybody, or $40 for just the women, $34 for just the men, because there's a few more extra women.
I think there's an equal rights clause issue there under the Constitution, but I mean, I don't know.
So you can play Diego for free?
There's a number of characters.
Wait, there's
women.
I know we're just having fun here, but there actually was one other thing that you had on here about the Turkey events in Turkey. What's the deal with that?
There was a little bit of a blow up on Reddit. A Turkish player posted to our Street Fighter pointing out that Turkey was not included in the online events for this year's CPT. It's typically either included with Europe or Middle East. So if you don't have a Middle East section, sometimes, you know, you just have Europe, and Turkey's not included because it's part of the Middle East in their eyes. Or you just have a Middle East competition and Turkey's not included because it's viewed as European. This case, it wasn't included in either section. And a couple player or couple people expressed displeasure with that. They wanted to know why. Level Up actually went on Twitter to respond to this, and they said, quote, "We understand the concern about Turkey and many other regions which didn't make the online CPT this year. We are making cases for growth every year, but also considering the regional and internet landscape for quality matches. Start small and grow from there is the direction," end quote. So there certainly some people are going to be disappointed by that. They're not going to be satisfied by that answer. I don't know what you guys think, or if you guys have a very strong opinion on that.
No, not really. Every region, I'm sure, has strong players. They all want to play. It's great. If people are complaining that there's not tournaments there, it's probably because there's, you know, desire. Guys, that does, I believe, bring us to the end of the show. We don't have any more topics. It was a good one. Thank you very much for everybody who watched. Following up is Ultrachen TV. You got to watch them. They'll be on Twitch right after us. Tonight, their topics are Final Round 2019 recap, results and news, Mortal Kombat 11 stress test, thoughts, etc. I'm actually looking forward for Ultra David's VOZ to be uploaded. He was talking about putting a bunch of stuff on YouTube. Street Fighter League voting, 5-5 matchup, Google Stadia, and crowd couching mania, and more. That'll be on Ultrachen. That's Ultra David and James Chen. Thank you guys for watching us. Thank you everybody who subbed. Thank you everybody who followed. We'll be here same time, same channel next week.
Good night, Canada.